Presented by the National Association of Realtors.
Hey, good morning. I'm Playbook co-author Rachel Bade. It's Wednesday, March 27th. Here's what's driving the day. The fallout from NBC's Ronna McDaniel contract continues to boil over. Yesterday, the former RNC chief was let go from the network after top talent balked at her hiring for 2 days straight. This morning, we dig a little into the Ronna side of things in Playbook. A couple news nuggets for you this morning. Ronna McDaniel is expecting to be paid $600,000 from this contract, 2 years at $300,000 apiece. The point of view from their side is that she didn't violate any parts of this agreement, that the NBC folks are the ones that are scrambling, and therefore, she's owed this money. I also hear Ronna McDaniel is talking to Brian Friedman. This is the mega media lawyer who also represented Megyn Kelly in her legal battle with NBC, as well as Chris Cuomo, Don Lemon, and Tucker Carlson. And the Supreme Court on Tuesday heard arguments in a case challenging federal regulation of a widely used abortion pill, mifepristone. Anti-abortion activists, however, might not like what they had to hear from the justices, but conservatives around the nation have a backup plan should the Supreme Court reject their campaign. In fact, turns out they have several. And here to talk to me about this is healthcare reporter Alice Miranda Olstein. Good morning, Alice.
Hello.
So, Alice, first take us through what the Supreme Court justices had to say yesterday about this case.
So the conservative justices were really skeptical about two key pieces of the anti-abortion group's argument. They said, we're not convinced that you have standing to sue because you haven't really shown that the doctors you're representing have been harmed by these pills. You know, the doctors say that the increasing use of the pills means that they're more likely to have to treat someone who took the pills and comes into the emergency room or comes for, you know, follow-up care, and that that would hurt them because then they would have to, quote unquote, be complicit in completing that abortion. But none of the doctors in the case really could prove that that has happened in the past and is likely to happen again in the future. So they really got grilled on this being too speculative.
Really interesting and maybe a bit surprising after the Dobbs decision. So as you report in a story up this morning, these anti-abortion activists have several plan Bs, so to speak. Maybe I shouldn't use plan B.
No pun intended.
No pun. Let's start at the federal level. What are they looking at Congress to potentially do or a potential second Trump White House?
Yeah, so I really wanted to stress in this piece that while this Supreme Court case is obviously huge, they're not hanging everything on this. They have been really strategizing for years since before Roe fell to go after the use of abortion pills. They sort of saw the writing on the wall that the pills were the future of abortion. And so they really felt that in order to ban abortion, which is what they hope to do more broadly, they really have to go after the pills. And they've been doing that in just a bunch of different ways. There's other lawsuits. There are bills already introduced in Congress and in a lot of state legislatures. And as you mentioned, there are groups that are trying to lay the groundwork so that should Trump win in the fall and take back the White House next year, there would be a bunch of policy plans all ready to go for him to sign that would really restrict abortion access, if not ban it entirely. And so some of those actually came up during oral arguments, including the Comstock Act, which is this long dormant law that dates all the way back from the 1870s that bans mail delivery of medications or really anything that could be used for an abortion. That has not been enforced for a long time. The Biden Justice Department says it does not apply and shouldn't ban mail delivery of abortion pills, but these groups want a future Trump administration to reverse that and say, yes, it does. And that would really cut off access all around the country. If you can't mail the pills, not only can you not mail them to patients' houses, you can't even mail them to doctors' offices. And so it would really prevent people from obtaining them, even in blue states where their use is currently protected.
What is the thinking then if Republicans were to, say, hold on to the House, flip the Senate, but don't have a 60-vote threshold, say they get Trump in the White House? What, I mean, do they already know how they're going to do this, like attach it to must-pass legislation or something that has totally nothing to do with mifepristone? Or what is the thinking there?
Yeah, so they've introduced a bunch of sort of traditional bills that would require 60 votes in the Senate. But as we know, that is not super likely, not impossible, but not super likely. And so they are also, yeah, looking for ways to try again, even after failing this time around, try again to get it attached to federal spending bills in the future. You know, that's how we got the Hyde Amendment, which has been around for a long time, which prevents, you know, direct federal funding of abortion. They obviously want to go much further. So I really see this as a throw everything against the wall and see what sticks kind of strategy.
Last question for you. Are conservative states already moving to ban this abortion pill? And what are blue states doing to sort of push back on these efforts?
Yeah. So, you know, many states now post Roe ban abortion entirely. So that includes abortion pills and surgical abortions. But a bunch of other states, in addition to those banned states, have restrictions just on the pills, you know, requiring patients to only obtain them directly from a doctor in person rather than through telemedicine or by mail or getting it at a pharmacy. So there are a bunch of restrictions like that. There are ones that also sort of functionally do that by, let's say, requiring an ultrasound. You got to go in person for that. And so there are those restrictions, and there are anti-abortion groups that are pushing model bills in states that don't have those restrictions yet to try to impose them. And like you mentioned, a bunch of blue states are trying to sort of be the vanguard here to push back. So a lot of blue states have passed these shield laws saying that if a doctor in, say, California prescribes abortion pills to a patient in, say, Texas, they cannot be subpoenaed or prosecuted by Texas. So it's gives them this sort of legal immunity, legal protections to give them the confidence to keep doing this. That also applies to doctors who treat patients coming in from out of state who were afraid of being prosecuted. A bunch of states also are trying to stockpile another form of abortion pill, not the one being challenged at the Supreme Court, but another one as sort of a backup stopgap to sort of just send the message that no matter what the Supreme Court does, you can still get abortion pills. We will still have them available. Don't worry. There is also a big lawsuit by 18 states, well, 17 states and DC, trying to push back and say that not only should the FDA not reimpose restrictions on abortion pills, they should drop the remaining restrictions. So there should be even fewer restrictions on abortion pills. And that lawsuit kind of clashes with the one now at the Supreme Court. And it'll be really interesting to see how the courts untangle all of that.
Clearly the beginning of the story, not the end of it. Alice, thanks for coming on.
Absolutely. Thank you.
As for the rest of your schedule today, the House and Senate are out. I'm Rachel Bade, and thanks for listening.
The National Association of Realtors is fighting for housing affordability and availability before Congress. The lack of affordable housing supply is hurting the middle class and depriving first-generation and first-time homebuyers of the financial security that home ownership provides. That's why the National Association of Realtors has a bipartisan plan to expand home ownership. Learn more at flyin.realtor.com.